Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
All right, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 12, and we hope you've enjoyed everything that we've done today, and a lot of prayers gone in to this week and really this month. And we just want to highlight for just a few more minutes. I know you hate talking about money. I hate talking about it just the same. And we really hope that you reach out if you need help with some of the resources that we've given you. And we would love to help you. And there's no judgment here. We've all made bad mistakes. In fact, by way of testimony, while you're finding Mark chapter 12, early on in our marriage, it becomes very easy. We've told many of the young couples that the typical fights happen because of finances and family. And usually early on, what you're going to learn is you don't have as much money as you would like. And what you're going to learn 10 years into the marriage is you still don't have as much money as you'd like. But I'll never forget early on, my wife and I, she was working full-time and I was working here, and we weren't making a whole lot of money back then. And this isn't to get you to feel sympathetic for us, because I know many of you have probably been in the same boat. But I thought it would be easier one month to not tithe and have a little extra money in the bank. And my wife, she gets on to me, and many times throughout the month, she'll ask the question, have we tithed? And I have to let her know, yes, ma'am, we have. And we are square. We did what we believed was right. But at that time, that was not the right thing for me to do. And I'll never forget, our account was pretty close to hitting the negatives, and I didn't know where the money was going to come from, and we began to pray. And I'll never forget, the next morning I woke up, checked my bank account, because usually when you're struggling for finances, you just open it hoping that somebody donated $200 to your cause or something. There was $250 in my account. I can't tell you where it came from, don't know how it got there. All I know is from that moment forward, I understood this. God, I will never rob you of your money again. And so there are many testimonies, there are many stories that we could tell like that. And Lord willing, I'll get some more video testimonies from former members, and I just loved their testimony when it came to giving. It usually comes down to this. Every time we think that we can't give, but we give regardless, God still blesses us. And he always makes sure we have everything we need. And so for just a few moments today, I know we've been here for a little bit already, I want to talk about God's word. What does it say about your money? What does God have to say, more importantly? I think all of us that are here today, we could understand this thought. We want to do what God wants us to do, amen? And we want to follow his word. And so Mark chapter 12 is really a famous passage of scripture here. And verse 41, the Bible says this, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Let me just give you a picture, and we'll elaborate on this. Jesus was watching them give. If Jesus were watching you give today, would it change how you gave? What we should understand is he is watching us. Physically, though, how intimidating would that be to have Jesus standing there as you gave? The Bible goes on, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done. And we pray that you just continue to bless. And Lord, I'm thankful for the men that are in this church that have helped pray and help usher in the Spirit, Lord. And I believe you're here with us today. But Lord, I pray that as we give to the projects here on this property, we understand this thought. We can never outgive you. And Lord, I pray that you always take the money that we've given and understand that it's already yours to begin with, but that you would use it to help change more lives in Greeley, Colorado. Lord, I pray that you be with some. I know many are out today not well. Be with them. Give them strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I really want to turn our direction for just a few moments to the spotlight of God's word directly on our finances and how we handle them. I'm not a professional fiduciary, whatever they say, when it comes to managing finances. I know people like that, and I know people that are going above and beyond to even help the church and make sure our finances are squared here at the church. But really, this is an issue for many people about which we are all sensitive, and we don't like to talk about it. Usually the people that are talking about it are the ones that have it. And we get intimidated at times, and we don't have any people like that in this church, to my knowledge, by God's grace. But when you look at the world, it really is all about what you have. What kind of boat you have, what kind of truck you drive, how big of a house. It's all about your possessions. And as we understood earlier, we need to understand that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. And when we think about what he's done here already on our property by giving us a building, by giving us, like Brother Ken prayed, the chairs. At one time, I thought about this week, there were many projects here that we may have thought were too big for us to even take on. And yet here we are because of the faithfulness of many Christians. And so for just a few moments, I want to talk about this. But before we really get into these verses, let's take a moment to consider several statements which I feel are important when we discuss the matter of finances. And this is just by way of introduction. This is not in your notes. So if you'd like to jot these down, you're welcome to. But the first is this: money is essential. Amen? We cannot live without money. We depend on money. It provides for our homes, for our food, for clothing, for cars, and other things we say are the necessities of life. And if you do not have money in this society, then you are in serious trouble. I think we would all agree on the fact, once again, that money is important. The second thought is this: money is overrated. This world is all about telling us how we can go about getting more of the stuff called money. In fact, they have the lottery. There's a lot of these things online, get rich quick schemes, and you have all these people on social media basically telling you how they made over $10,000 in less than a month. And in our mind, we think, I could use $10,000 this month. Pastor, if I win the lottery, the church is the first place I'm going to give. No, it's not. You're not giving already, so why would you give when you have more money? Money is overrated. The third thought is this: money can be used for great good. It has built hospitals, it's fed the hungry, it's clothed the naked, it's provided the needs of the kingdom of God and helped countless millions. Fourthly, money can be used for great evil. Money has financed the drug culture, pornography, prostitution, wars, and every other vile practice known to man. It is the grease that lubricates the axles of sin, if you will. The fifth statement is this: money must be used properly. I think you just take a step back and look at our nation. Money has not been handled properly. In fact, I was telling somebody earlier, I remember doing a study on finances, and I preached a sermon early on in my marriage called The Joy of Being in Debt. Those are words that are typically not associated together, amen? For those of us in here that are debt, we understand we are slaves to the lender. And it is not a joyous occasion because we have to pay that money back. And not only do we have to pay back the amount that we borrowed, but we have to pay back it with interest. And so it's never a joy for us to be in debt. But I remember making a statement, this was in the year 2013, so just think about how that applies to modern day society. It was stated that if you took $1 billion and spent it every single day from the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, you still would not accumulate the debt that our government has here in America. That was in 2013. Think of where we are today. Free handouts. It's running rampant. And you just look at our culture, and I really wanted the kids in here for a purpose earlier, because the parents, it really does fall down to you to teach your children how to handle their finances and how to handle money as they get older, because what you're seeing is a generation of young people who have no clue how to balance a checkbook or how to budget their money. Therefore, we have debt for everything. Money can lead, number six, to terrible bondage. When we allow ourselves to fall into the slavery of debt, we are hindering our ability to follow the Lord properly. It's important, and really it's imperative, church, that we do our best to have our finances in order. A lot of marriages break up because finances are in dysfunction. A lot of homes are in disarray. I don't care who cares for the money, the dad or the mom. It just should be in order, amen. Number seven, money must be used to bring glory to God. And when money is properly used to glorify the Lord, then the Lord is given the wonderful opportunity of proving his power to provide for his people. When God is denied this opportunity, then the child of God has forfeited a great blessing and has entered into a state of unrepentant sin before the Lord. With these thoughts in mind this morning, let's join Jesus and his disciples in the book of Mark here in the temple as Jesus watches people make their offerings. And in these few verses, Jesus gives us some principles that should govern the use of our money, especially in the matter of our giving. And now as we get to the notes, I want you to write this down first of all. The matter of our giving. Look at verse number 41, if you will, again. The Bible says, and Jesus sat over the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. There's a few things I take notice when I read that verse. That is this. First of all, Jesus cares about our giving. This is evident from the fact that Jesus was observing the people casting their money into the treasury. He was watching them as they gave. And notice how this verse is worded. It says, and behold, now the people cast money into the treasury. How many believe that Jesus is here this morning once again? I believe Jesus is here. I believe Jesus is alive and well. I believe he is in heaven with God. But here's what I want to ask. How many believe that he is still watching people give their tithes? And not just their tithes, but their offerings. We use the word tithe as a church. And understand that belongs to the Lord. When we use the word offering, that's really going above and beyond your tithe. You tithe $200 a month, then if you're going to donate an offering, you are to go above and beyond that $200 a month. It's very simple. And when we do giving programs like this, don't rob your tithe to give to deny to supply. Do you understand how that works? The matter of our giving is this. Jesus cares about our giving, but God's challenge in our giving, it's once again, the yardstick has always been what is called the tithe. And this is a word that simply means the tenth. God desires that every person be actively involved in giving their tithe to the Lord. There are three basic reasons why people do not tithe today. First of all, many have never been taught to tithe. Perhaps their mothers and fathers did not tithe. Perhaps their preachers have been silent about the matter of tithing. But whatever the reason, some people simply do not understand the place tithing holds in the lives of believers. The second reason I see is many misunderstand the place of tithing in the Lord's kingdom. There are those who feel that tithing is not for us today. This comes from a lack of understanding about what tithing is and where the concept came from. And this will be cleared up really in just a few minutes. But the third reason that many people refuse to tithe, I would say, is this. Many simply refuse to obey the Lord. Many do not tithe. They know what the Bible tells them, and yet they still do not tithe. And many refuse because they are willing to be rebellious to the Word of God instead of being obedient. If you know that it is the Lord's will and you don't do it, then don't complain when financial hard times come into your life. The Bible says it like this: to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. But I want you to notice also in the matter of our giving, God's claim to our resources this morning. Too often we get hung up on the tithe and forget that every penny we have. I understand when we talk about tithe, it's 10%. 10% is what belongs to the Lord. We need to understand this just right now as a church. Every penny that you have in your life belongs to the Lord. And too many people get hung up on what is the Lord's, and many times we get hung up once again on the question, do we tithe off of the net, do we tithe off of the gross? And I have a very simple answer for you when it comes to that. The Bible isn't very specific when it talks about that. All I know is this: if you are not tithing because you believe this is my money, this is my car, I worked hard for this, this is my house, I have all of this because of what I can do, then you need to remember who it was that gave you that ability to work that job, to earn that money, to provide for your family. I see God's claim to our resources. The second thought I see this morning, very simply, is this: the measure of our giving. Look at verses 42 through 44 once again. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I think a little background's in order for this, and to set the scene here. As Jesus stood there that day watching the people give their offerings, he was watching not how they gave, but how much they gave as well. Once again, I laugh kind of at the story that Brother Jesse shared with me, and I'm not going to be that preacher, all right? Although you should know, I do see who gives and who doesn't, how much they do. So if you and I are good buddies, it's probably because you give a good chunk of money. No, I'm just kidding. There are places where they want to dictate how much you give, and they want to know how much you make, and they're going to base all of that on your life and say, you ought to give this, and you ought to tithe here, and we could really use you here. My belief, once again, is this: if you're not tithing, you're being disobedient. But if you want to give above and beyond your tithe, it's because God should be leading you to be faithful. And so the background we see here is they go to the temple treasury. There were really 13 brass chests or boxes into which the worshipers cast their offerings. And these chests were called trumpets because they were shaped like trumpets. And as the metal coins were cast in to these trumpets, they made a loud noise. And so the more money that was cast in, the louder the sound was in each chest before an inscription declaring what the money inside was to be used for. As I read this story, I think of good old-fashioned vacation Bible schools. How many of you have ever been a part of a vacation Bible school? We used to do, and I don't know if every church did this, but we did what they called the penny offering. This was a competition every night between the boys and the girls. Now, that's not how we give, thank God, amen. And we don't have competitions. I'm not going to throw numbers. This side's giving really well. This side needs to pick it up a little bit. We're not going to do that. But I always love reading this passage and thinking of that, because there were some kids that would show up with a Ziploc bag of maybe 10 pennies, and they would throw it in. And then there was always that one kid wearing a hoodie in the month of July, packed down because his grandma cashed a $50 check and got rolls of pennies. And for 10 minutes, he would throw his money or her money into the 5-gallon bucket, and you know what you'd hear? You just hear loud clunking for 5 minutes, and all the kids are in awe. Oh my goodness, he's rich. He's got the money. He's dumping it in. And when he got all of the money out of his hoodie, it wasn't enough. He had to reach into his pockets and in his sock roll. He had all of this money, and he's putting it in. That's kind of how I picture what's going on right here. There's the people with abundance, and they have their coins, and they're throwing it in into these trumpets, these baskets, if you will, and everybody hears who the faithful or who the most giving people are. considering the nature of these chests, it becomes obvious that those who wanted to put on a show could do so quite easily. This was a practice that was rebuked by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, and when the little widow gave her two small coins, they sounded mighty small compared to the abundance that was already given. However, to the Lord, they made the noise of a vast offering. And when this little widow gave all she had, Jesus could no longer contain himself, but used her giving as an example to all who were present that day. And her testimony still stands as one of the greatest examples of sacrifice in all of recorded human history. With this in mind, notice a few principles from the Bible concerning the measure of our giving. First of all, we are to give proportionally. That is, everyone is expected to give the same amount. Not the same dollar figure, but the same percentage. God's ideal starting point for giving is 10% for everyone. I've often heard pastors say they ought to give 90% to God and live off of 10%. How many of us would fail where if we did that this month? Probably not so good. But the starting point is always the same. The Bible says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes and the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Any other use of this money constitutes as stealing from God and will result in the removal of his blessing. Once again, I don't consider myself a rich man, but I consider myself a blessed man. And I consider myself blessed because of what God can do in my life and my understanding and my family's understanding of that it belongs to the Lord. I laughed a few weeks back. My daughter lost her first tooth, and we still make them try to believe that there's a tooth fairy, and so we slip a dollar or two under there. And the first thing she says is, this is going to the offering. Isn't it wonderful, the mind of children? In fact, God uses children all the time to illustrate that's how we should act and behave and be humble. But many times we become selfish, and we need to understand that tithing did not originate with the law. 430 years before the law was even given, Abraham offered the Lord a tithe of all of his increase in Genesis chapter 14. And even before that, Abel brought the Lord of the first fruits of his flock in Genesis chapter 4. The idea of giving the Lord his part directly off the top is as old as humanity itself. And I know some of us think that's just a church thing. We go to church and they're going to ask us for our money. We never ask anything of you. But I want you to understand this. If you are a member of this church and you do not tithe, once again, you are being disobedient to God. Regardless of who you are, your part is exactly the same as my part. And we are all required to give to the Lord his tithe. Anything less is theft. Not only are we to give proportionately, we are to give properly. There is a proper place that has been appointed by the Lord for us to give our tithes. If you go back to Malachi 3:10, the Bible used the word the storehouse. It's also called the Lord's house, or in our day, it's known as the church. God's plan is that all the tithe is to be brought into the church, and from there, it is to be distributed as the Lord leads. Many of us will say, is it proper to give my tithe to a missionary, to the needy, to some ministry, or to buy things for the church? I would say no. The only proper use for the tithe is for it to be brought into the Lord's house, to be distributed as the Lord directs. And that's why we have missions offering, and that's why we have denied a supply. It's not just our normal tithe. It's so that we go above and beyond being faithful to what God has given us. Not only are we to give properly, we are to give, thirdly here, perpetually. According to 1 Corinthians 16:2, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Essentially, the Bible is telling this, we are to make giving a regular part of our lives. There may be some, I don't know if this is you or not, you have a one and done mentality. I gave once, I never have to give again in this life. Boy, if only it was that simple. All of our debts would be paid, our houses would be paid off. Why? Because we only paid one time and we've not paid since. I've met people who believe that, that they only have to read the Bible one time and they don't have to do it ever again. I've met a lot of different people, but I want you to understand this. Reading the Bible, being a faithful Christian, being a faithful giver ought to have a regular place in our life. And that's monthly, maybe it's weekly. I used to laugh, Miss Maria. I'll tell the story now that Brother Allen's not here, but Brother Allen was a weekly giver. The men that count, you remember seeing his accounts come in, and every week he gave to the same four or five different accounts. It had a regular place in his life. We are to give perpetually. We are to give of the first fruits as the Bible tells us. But I want us to focus on this last part more than anything else this morning as we leave. The motive of our giving. I can imagine the reaction of the crowds as the rich men threw in their large sums of money. I would expect that there was some major oohing and aahing as the trumpet sounded and the money fell into the collection boxes. Then I can see that little widow woman as she comes to the chest. She drops in her offering. Only two mites, the Bible says. That's equal to about half a cent in our money. The crowds were probably silent as she gave her offering. There may have been some church people there that day that judged her because she didn't give as much as the rest of them. But while the others received praise of men for their gifts, this woman received the praises of God. You see, it isn't the dollar amount that makes the offering a blessing. It is the heart behind the gift. It all comes down to the motive. And so as we bring this sermon to a close, let's just talk for a minute about the motive of our giving. How should we give? How does the Bible say we ought to give as a church? First of all, I would say it like this. We should give thankfully. That is, we ought to do our giving in light of what the Lord has done for us. And when we consider the fact that the Lord loved us and gave his life for us, then saved us by his grace when we simply called on his name and believed, then tithe, really, it seems awfully small, does it not? A thankful heart, once again, is a giving heart. When you're thankful for what you have and when you understand how blessed we are as Americans, how blessed we are as Christians, it makes it so much easier to give money back to God. Secondly, we should give cheerfully. Our theme verse for the month, 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Bible says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Some of you on your way out today may have a tithing envelope in your hand and you're going to place it in the offering box. In your mind, it could be the hardest thing to let go of that money. Your heart's in a good place. For others, you're going to walk past the offering box or you're going to get online and type in your number and your thought's going to be this, I got to do this because if not, pastor's going to have me in his office. I got to do this or my wife's going to be asking me, did I give? The Bible says there, not of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful, it literally means hilarious. We should give not because we feel obligated to give, but because it delights our heart to be able to give unto the Lord. The last thought this morning is this. Actually, there's two more thoughts, but I didn't put the last one on the paper, so you have to fill in the blank there. We should give liberally. This means that we are not to be stingy when it comes to giving to the Lord's work or his people. In truth, we can't expect God to bless us in direct proportion to the level of our giving. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, give and it shall be given unto you. Do not be guilty of being a skinflint when it comes to giving this morning. The Lord will not bless your life. This is the only kind of liberal the Lord will use and bless. I got a preacher friend. I have him scheduled to be here next March. And I'm looking forward to him. He lives in a place called Liberal, Kansas. And like our church, they use the themes like we do. And a few years ago, their theme was liberal love. Now, we all understand what liberal means, do we not? But I love that theme because the whole thought is we are going to love our community. We are going to love Jesus Christ liberally, above and beyond the normal love. Some of us ought to take that mentality into our giving. We are going to give above and beyond. The starting point is 10%, amen. Doesn't mean it ends at 10%. We should give liberally, and then this isn't in your notes, but I would say lastly, we should give sacrificially. We should give sacrificially. In our text, Jesus was impressed not by the amount of the widow's gift, but by the fact that she gave out of her need, and the rich gave out of their surplus, and she gave all that she had, and that got the Lord's attention, and it still does this morning. And if you wait to start giving when you have plenty, there's really two problems you're going to face. The first is this: you will never get to where you think you have plenty. And then the last thought is this: when you do have extra, it will seem like too much to give. When we come to the topic of money, once again, it's not one of my favorites. I know it's not your favorite. Really, if we all sat down with our finances, we could all come to a place where we struggle in various areas. The wrong thing to do is to take money away from God to try to fill the void of the others. And I hope we get some more of these testimonies, because what you're going to hear from people is this: they gave thankfully, they gave faithfully, even when they thought they didn't have enough money, and God always, always, always took care of them. Anyone who refuses to give the Lord what belongs to him loves his money more than they love God. What is God's word about your money this morning? I just say it like this as we close. Your money belongs to him, and you will give an account as to how you use his money. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-353-7635.